You will be perhaps relieved to know that such words as candidate, majority, landslide, and resignation will not get so much as a mention within the next 20 minutes. For better or for worse, it has been decided. But I did like one comment I heard during that long night, and this was it. It's not so much what has been said or done in these last 6 weeks, but the track record in the previous months and years, and what will follow, that's important. Not so much what has been done and said in the last 6 weeks, but the track record in the previous months and years, and what will follow, that's important. And whereas that was said about the new government or the new MPs, I'm sure there's also a sermon in there too. So, I well remember a child's drawing many years ago, a beautiful white fluffy cloud, and from the bottom of it, two legs and a pair of sandals, and around a bunch of people staring up. Well, that's what we read. That's how we heard it. 1 minute, the risen Jesus Christ was there present with his disciples, and the next, he was gone. And Luke writes in his sequel to his gospel, Luke's gospel finishes with this moment in history, and he starts his sequel, the Acts of the Apostles, with the same bit of the story. It's the carry-on bit between one episode and another. And Luke says, they watched him as he was taken up into heaven, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Ascension Day, next Thursday, 40 days since Easter Sunday. Now, the miracle of the virgin birth is difficult to explain, but at least we have the joy of the baby. The resurrection is even more difficult to explain, but at least we can concentrate on the evidence, the risen Lord who walked and talked and ate with his disciples. But the ascension, it's impossible to explain. And absolutely no evidence to support anything except the absence of the risen Lord. It's no wonder we don't celebrate Ascension Day as we do Christmas and Easter. But at least we should join with the disciples, at best in their astonishment, their bewilderment, their incredulity, and probably at worst, their disappointment, their sadness, and desolation. This time, Jesus really has gone away from their sight. This time, Jesus really has left them, or so it seemed. And so the disciples were left gazing up at the sky, much as we might do as a dear one flies off to the other side of the world, or very sadly, at the crematorium or the cemetery. But let's take a proper look at the ascension, not just to reassure ourselves about Jesus' whereabouts, but also to think about our own whereabouts, now and in the future. You see, there had to be an ascension. There had to be an ascension. Jesus had told his followers, more than told them, he had promised them. He had promised his followers that one day he would go away. In a little while, you will not see me anymore. And then, in a little while later, you will see me. That was the message of Easter. But Jesus had also told them that one day he would go away and they would not see him on the earth anymore. One of our new hymns, Christ is alive, let Christians sing. And it goes on to say, his cross stands empty to the sky. But it goes on, Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine. This is the message of the ascension. Christ is no longer bound to distant years of history in a place called Palestine. To me, one of the great experiences of my life was to visit the Holy Land, and I know some of you have been there also, to see and to walk and to experience the land where Jesus lived. But greater still was the realization, even while I was in Jerusalem, that Jesus is with us wherever, and I can be with him wherever. Jesus had said, this gospel, this good news, because that's what gospel means, good news, this good news will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. Geographically, Jesus is indeed everywhere. His power is also unrestricted. Just as he appeared through locked doors to the disciples after the resurrection, he is present even today with all who ask and sometimes who don't even ask, but find Jesus beside them in their hour of need or joy or sadness or challenge. I'm sure I've told you of the little girl called Barbara who went into a church with her mum. And her mum was busy doing whatever she was doing, and the little one wandered off by herself. When the mother asked her what she was doing, she said, I went to talk to God. And the mother, who was a bit surprised, said, what did you say? And the little girl said, I just said, dear God. And the mother said, and what did God say to you? Dear Barbara, she correctly replied. You see, it is because of the ascension of Jesus, he kept his promise to be with us at all times and in all places. Sometimes that is a comforting thought. It's also a reminding thought. The promise is not linked to either time or geography. But Jesus said, I am with you always to the close of the age. If he had just stayed the risen Jesus, he was bound by time. If he had just stayed the risen Jesus in Palestine, he was bound by geography. But because he ascended into heaven, he could truly say, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. You see, up to the ascension, Jesus had spoken to very few people in terms of the population of his country, let alone the world. But Jesus was aware of the world. His instructions to the disciples were, go into all the world, go to all nations, but not on your own. I will be with you. Not even the real Jesus, if I can describe him so, not even the risen Lord could be everywhere. Only the ascended Christ, the one who did indeed ascend into heaven to sit beside his heavenly Father. Not just for a few people, but for all. Not just for one country, but throughout the world. Not just historically, but present in the present and promised in the future. We sing hallelujah at Easter, but we should say three more hallelujahs on Ascension Day next Thursday. But that is only one part of the reason that next Thursday should be celebrated. I happen this year to have been preaching at different churches on all three main festivals. At Christmas time, I was in St. Nicholas in Lanark. At Easter, I was in Symington Church, and now here in St. John's. And my title on each of the occasions was, what difference does this festival, Christmas, Easter, Ascension Day, make to you? And I don't mean financially, and especially about the other two, about your waistline. So what difference indeed does or will Ascension Day make to us this year? The other days were somewhat easier to discuss and to think about, but today we can at least join with the disciples looking up into heaven, for once speechless. What difference does Ascension Day make to you? You can stand with the disciples looking up into heaven. But there are three answers. We believe, as I've already said, what Jesus had said, what Jesus had promised, always present for everyone, everywhere. But also literally going before us. I can't count the number of people who have said to me after the death of a loved one, if only someone would come back and tell us what happens. And I answer kindly, I hope someone did, even Jesus. And then he went on to prepare the way ahead for us. And equally, I can't count the number of people who have asked me, what is it like in heaven? If only we know, I answer kindly. But we do know one thing, that all will be well, because Jesus is there already. And Jesus has promised that we will be with him, and he will be with us. And that's the most important part. The other details, curious as we might be, are far less important and indeed for later. Ascension Day should direct our thoughts to the next chapter of our career, as indeed it was for Jesus. Because Ascension Day is time critical between earth and heaven. And for us, I hope, a long time in the future, but at least a promise and a certainty for that day whenever it comes. Jesus is already there and waiting to welcome us. And the third aspect of the importance of the Ascension Day comes in what happened after that day. In his gospel, Luke writes, the disciples worshipped him and then went back to Jerusalem filled with great joy. Luke says in the Acts of the Apostles, for he tells us more, they went back to Jerusalem to meet up with the other disciples and the women, Mary, Jesus' mother, and his brothers. And the next day, a meeting. Yes, even in those days, a meeting. 120 people in all at that meeting. And Peter began to speak. And it was, as we know, the beginning of the church as we know it, born at Pentecost when the Spirit came. Because it was after the day of Ascension, after Ascension Day, that the disciples were fired up with more enthusiasm, sure in the promise that Jesus had given them, and ready not just to meet together, but to go forward together. It was as if the preparation work and the example that they needed was complete. Everything was now in place. The prophecy, the actuality of the Messiah, his sacrifice, his resurrection, and his return to his heavenly Father. Now it is the responsibility of the people, then and in Jerusalem, and now and in Carluke. His disciples then and his disciples at St. John's and hereabouts also. This is the third reason that Ascension Sunday is important. I think it's no accident of timing that Christian Aid Week was set at this time of year. And surely more will be said at the service tonight in the URC Church at 7 o'clock to mark the beginning of Christian Aid Week. But after the ascension of Jesus Christ, the responsibility was the people's to go forward following his example, enthused by his promise, and sure in the very love of Jesus Christ. And today, never was there a time in our history when help was more urgently needed by folks suffering from natural disasters and inhumanity. It's no accident of timing either, I think, that our General Assembly, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, begins the week after Christian Aid. Again, our responsibility to carry on the work that was vested in the disciples after the ascension. I can almost hear those two angels we heard in the reading. The two angels that appeared to the disciples. Why are you standing there looking up into the sky? Not so much the words, but perhaps the tone of voice. Do you not know there's work to be done? Why look up at the sky? Not so much why are you standing there looking up into heaven, but why are you just standing there? There's no answer except to say ours is the responsibility to do what we can, to say what we believe, to be what we should be, to give what we can offer. Jesus never just stood about. Neither should we. Jesus met the people and their needs just where they were and just as we are. And that is our job to do after Jesus' ascension. So what difference does Ascension Day make to you? You have the promise that Jesus is with us always and everywhere. You have the future hope that Jesus in heaven already is waiting for us one day to join him. But we also must realize the importance of Ascension Day, that now it is our task, our privilege, our joy, our duty to do the work that Jesus did here on earth. We like to call ourselves Christians, Christ's followers. So what difference does Ascension Day make to you? Let me say, as the angels did, don't stand there looking up into heaven. Follow him on this earth. Do as he did, so that one day we might follow Jesus into heaven and be with him forever, as he is with us now and forevermore. Have a think. What difference does Ascension Sunday make to you as one of Christ's followers today? And hear those words from the angel. Why are you standing there looking up into heaven? Rather, let us do what we can. Let us say what we believe. Let us be what we should be. Let us do what we can do. Let us love where we can love. Let us give what we can offer. And let us be Jesus' disciples and apostles and workers and friends as he is ours this Ascension Tide. Amen.